It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And don't ever listen to anybody who says that we don't break news on this program, too. We interpret the news, we analyze the news, we make fun of the news. But every once in a while, we do something important and we break some news. And our own Ryan Burrow has done something pretty remarkable here, a special WGN radio investigation into that ghost train collision from 2013. Take us back and explain what happened.
In 2013, we may remember this story about this this errant Blue Line train that left the rail yard, traveled about a mile, maybe a little less than a mile, and ended up slamming into a train car with a bunch of passengers in it. About 30 people were hurt. They called it the ghost train. They ended up, the CT ended up firing two electrical workers. They suspended two other workers, and then the NTSB came in and took a look and said that water seeped into some cables and that kind of set things in motion, and the train cars were not secure. The switch operator did not secure the trains, and that's kind of how they started gliding down the road, down the rails, and eventually ended with that pretty dramatic crash.
Without a driver. That's why they called it the ghost train. It went all that distance.
No passengers. There was no driver in that. And so what we did is we use the Freedom of Information Act to try to get the security video from that train to see what it looked like when it happened. Now, we had a couple back and forths, and I was told that we couldn't get security video from the platform itself. So we don't actually have the visual of the impact from train to train, but what we were
and for
given—
for what reason would they not release that?
They said, I don't have the thing in front of me, but essentially Homeland Security specifies whether or not they can say where those cameras are. That's what they say because of Homeland Security.
Bunch of horse
I guess they want to protect people without knowing where the cameras are. But we were fortunate enough to get there three cameras. It seems to be in the inside of every train car, and so we see the people get on the train, we see the people waiting, and then boom, we see that moment of impact, and people are just thrown from their seats. People hit poles. You see a woman who gets whiplash. She moves forward, and then within seconds, she's grabbing her neck. Obviously, clearly, her throat went into the pole in front of her. It's pretty incredible.
Right,
stuff.
One of the handrail bars, essentially. And this is exclusively, this video right now is exclusively at WGNradio.com.
Yeah, we've got it on the website, and I believe we're hitting the social media now with it.
Right, it's right on the front. And it is dramatic when you see it. It's about 7 minutes, almost 8 minutes of video, when you see, and you're seeing the same collision from a bunch of different angles, essentially, and a bunch of different cameras. But it is, it's very, very dramatic. And the thing that, and this starts out with something that I find very curious, because as the train is leaving the yard, and this is the one on the Eisenhower, right? You see it on the Eisenhower.
Correct.
And you see that big train yard when you get west of Harlem. And then this was, the train gets loose. It starts traveling east toward the Harlem Avenue stop, right?
Correct.
Now, what is fascinating to me is that there's a hill here. There's a slight incline and then a decline. And this train seems to be able to make it over. And how many cars are on this train?
Four on the ghost
four
train.
Four on the ghost train, eight on the train that it hits, right? So as this train is traveling east, it rides over an apex, if you will. Not a very steep one, but one nonetheless. And then down, and seems to be traveling, I think, at maximum velocity about 24 miles an hour.
24 was what NTSB said, yeah.
Right. Now, how is it doing that not under power?
I have no idea. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, they said that this is the switch operator just didn't shut it down like they were supposed to. I don't exactly know. At one point in that video, in fact, in the very beginning of this video, as you watch it, you can see it actually comes to a stop.
I saw that.
For 2 seconds.
So
and
weird.
Then starts back up again.
Which makes it even more mysterious. And what the video kind of, to me, you feel like you're going on the ride on the ghost train on the first part of it because you're shooting off the back end of the
back end of the ghost train, is what you're seeing in that first shot.
And it goes around a curve in the Forest Park rail yard, and then it passes through two track switches. And then, like you say, Ro, climbs up a little hill near the Eisenhower Expressway before accelerating. It's like, how does all that happen with no driver on board?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
Well, that's exactly what there needs to be more investigating here on this because it just doesn't seem like anybody was really paying enough attention to what the bottom line was. And I didn't like the explanation, too, that it just sort of drifted away.
No, drifting is wrong. It's not what the video shows.
It is clearly not what the video shows. Now, I am not a train safety engineer. I am not a member of the NTSB GO team. I have no experience with this other than what I'm saying, except I was a longtime CTA passenger. Mm-hmm. Thank God I'm no longer. Not to say that there's anything wrong with it, but there is.
There's video of the woman.
Did you see the video?
Well, that doesn't happen every day.
It happened one day, and that's good enough.
Did you see the video of the woman who's holding the hot coffee? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this isn't gonna be good. She gets obviously jostled, but for some reason the coffee stays put. So kudos to the people at Starbucks who kept that coffee, right?
Really,
I mean, that could have been a whole other can of worms,
and
right
that
there.
One man is walking, look like train car to train car, standing up, and all of a sudden goes all the way back onto his head. Yeah. I mean, it looks like some people.
That's the still photo on our website, actually, that launches this whole thing as this guy flying backwards almost midair. Mm. There is. There's also a guy. This guy holding onto his cell phone. The impact knocks him back and knocks his cell phone out of the door.
Yeah.
Of the train while it opens just in a microsecond, mm-hmm. as it opens based on the impact, right?
And it flies out, and of course he flies back, and we watch this guy spend the next 30 seconds trying to find his phone.
Right.
And he's looking under all of the cars. He has no idea that it flew out the door. I don't know if to this day if he knows that it flew out the door.
Well, he does today.
Yeah.
He will now today.
Thanks to you, Ryan.
And what's the status of the lawsuits here?
Yeah, we've got one more still pending. Everything else has been settled. When you watch this video, you know, we tend to think when people get hurt or whiplash after accidents, we always say, you know, maybe it was after the fact. They think of a chance to score. But I got to tell you, you watch these people immediately after, they're reaching for their elbows, they're mm-hmm. reaching for their necks, mm-hmm. they're reaching for their heads. They've been banging their heads.
Some people are really hitting hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you've got elderly people on these trains too. So, you know, there's still one settlement that's pending, but it sounds, according to one of the attorneys who represented one of the people, that, you know, once the CTA saw this video, they're like, yeah, you know, this is bad.
It's one of the right. Well, we've seen a few of those in Chicago, haven't we?
Yeah,
right.
Couple
where they
come to mind.
Yeah, yeah, where the bosses go, oh boy. Yeah. All right, where do we settle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, all right, and so when people go to WGNradio.com and they look at this, there's a story associated with this mm-hmm. as well, right?
Yeah.
Talking about what this is and your fine work to be able to finally get. And again, I mean, you know, for people who've been doing this a long time, Anna's been doing this a long time, mm-hmm. I've been doing it even longer. I've been doing it longer than all the rest of you people in this room, unfortunately, and I hate to admit it, but I still have FOIA requests out from 1989.
Right.
Exactly. That's the first question I asked Ryan. I'm like, how long did this take?
Well,
I'm
not going to lie. I started this at our old shop, and I just didn't follow through with it. But then when I started seeing the city starting to loosen some of these FOIA restrictions, I decided to go after it.
Going again.
I mean, this is almost over 2.5 years old. So, I mean, it's not exactly breaking news. I mean, but it's pretty dramatic video. That's
updated
for sure.
On a very important story too.
Yeah, it is.
And because there doesn't seem to be a sufficient explanation for what occurred.
No, that's what's strange. This long after.
Right. I think that it's just an. And I like the idea that the mayor wakes up to another headache that we've created. I like that idea.
That's not what we do.
That was one term ago, right? He's moved on.
That's right. You got a lot more headaches now. All right, Ryan,
thank you very much.
Great work. Thanks. Go to WGNradio.com. We got a TV story right up there on WGNradio.com. See what that goes on there?
It's right there.
Yeah.
Check it out.
You must
see the video.
Right on the front page, right there. It's a big fisheye-looking video that starts the whole thing off.
Mm-hmm.